God continually blessed some of them, and they lived a long time. Some of them, he didn't. Notice here in the 21st verse of the 33rd chapter of the 2nd Chronicles, speaking of the reign of Amon, a king. Amon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign. I want you to notice this. He was 22 years old when he went to the throne and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. How are you paying attention to me? Listen to me. Amon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh, his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh, his father, had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh, his father, had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josias his son king in his stead. Now, Josias was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now, how do you understand what I'm saying? Josiah, 8 years old, reigned for 31 years because he did the thing that pleased God. Amon, 2 years on the throne, and God killed him because he did that which was evil. The Bible said God rules in the affairs of man. God has his way in the affairs of man. And it's obvious that God here was displeased with Amon's way of life. He didn't like it. 2 years he was on the throne and God killed him. You know, that's the same way with you and I today. God will bless us. And the Bible tells us that if we'll consider the cause of the poor, if we'll do the thing that's right, if we'll walk upright before God and we'll consider the things that are right in the sight of the Lord, if we'll use our lips and our ways and our desires and our ambition and our talents to do away with evil in the earth and to establish a good mind and a good conscience and a godly desire in the heart of the people, that God will elevate us, God will magnify us, God will lift us up, and God will make us to ride upon the high places of the earth if we'll do that which is good in the sight of God. The Bible teaches that if we do not do that which is good in the sight of God, then God will destroy us. At an early age, he will destroy us. The Bible said, "Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces." All you've got to do is just get the world on your mind, get money on your mind, get women on your mind, get some kind of fame or popularity or something that you want to do on your mind. And brothers and sisters, I promise you that God will kill you and destroy you and throw your brains out along the highways and the different places where the buzzards will eat it. That's right. Because the Bible said God hates the whoremonger. God hates the harlot. God hates him that soweth discord among the brethren. The Bible said to be rebellious, to be stubborn, is as idolatry, as the sin of witchcraft. When you get stubborn against the move of God, and your spirit rises up when God is trying to do something through the man of God or through the brethren, and you rise up in resistance because they cut across your grain, and because they went a little contrary to your way of life or your way of seeing things. And when you rise up like that, God kills you and destroys you and gets you out of the way, because he doesn't allow that thing to continue. You can bull up like an old bull, you know, and be just as bullheaded as an old goat. But God one day will get tired of it, and God one day will bring his wrath upon you. That's right. Now you don't have to perk up and listen for me to preach to you. You know when I'm trying to bring forth revelation, I have to kind of pet you and beg you and woo you and do everything I can to keep your mind. But you don't have to do nothing. You can sit there and dig your heels in, and the more you do it, the more that I can pop the whip of God and come right out there and holler and scream at you. Because when it comes to preaching, you don't have to woo nobody to get nobody's attention. Because you're up there to tell them just exactly how you feel that God is placed in your heart anyway. All right, so then God delighted in Josiah. 31 years God let him reign on the throne. Why? Because the Bible said that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord Jesus. He was the kind of person, according to history, that he found all of the idols. He went into the high places, into the different places of the groves where they picnicked and where they had their fleshly frolics in that day. And Josiah went in there and he took his armies and took his men, and he literally overpowered them and destroyed them and done away with them and commanded the people to turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He even dug out the old scrolls and found people that was older than he was that knew about God and had memories of things in the past of God and had records. And he sent far and near and dug out the scrolls and dug out the records and searched diligently in those written epistles to find out what was the pleasure of Almighty God and what God delighted in. I mean, it's something that God has to take a little old boy, 8 years old, and raise him up and train him and mold him to be what he wants to be, because he can't get some of you fellas that's older to do better. That's right. Take a little old boy like David off on the hillside somewhere from among the sheep cult and bring him out and raise him up, because he can't get the older people or those that should know better to do better and to lead his people. Has to reach back and get some little bitty boy. 31 years Josiah ruled on the throne, and God blessed him, and great things took place. And the Bible said he offered one of the greatest sacrifices unto God that has ever been offered. I've got men, I'm glad I can preach to you a little bit tonight. I've got some men here that's got some of the most contrary, rebellious, resentful thoughts and haughty spirits that I've ever seen in my life anywhere. From the time that they come into the church, I can watch them. Especially if they're late coming in, I can always tell, because before they come in, there'll be a devil that'll come in before them. They have an atmosphere of that old evil carnal mind that before they make their entrance, the devil comes in before them. They bring him in. They create an atmosphere around them. Some women are the same way. They're so lustful and so devilish that if they walk into your home or if they walk into the sanctuary of God, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and the sanctification of the blood, they defile the whole thing, and God would destroy it from the time they come in. That's right. Men that are greedy of gain. Men that are greedy of the filthy lucre of this world. Men that you can preach to. Men that you can tell them about their wrong and tell them what they ought not to do. But in a few days, we'll be back in the same conditions in the world and doing the very same things. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God has somebody in the world, somewhere in the world, that wants to do right. Now, there's just a few people. The Bible said few there be that find it. There's just a few people. But there are some in the world that wants to do right. I was talking to Tommy today. And Brother Tommy today, coming in from over in Tennessee, Maryville, Tennessee. I like the attitude that Tommy's got. He said, "Brother Pike, I want to do something for God." He said, I long to do something for God. And I could tell that in his spirit, he wasn't repelling, he wasn't finding fault, he wasn't fighting, he wasn't warring, but he was using entreaty in his spirit to find a place and a position in God that he might find out what's going on here at Little Bethlehem. Now, I'm glad that God's with me. I'm glad that God has given me a sense of discernment. Glad to have our brother James back. I see he's here tonight. Always appreciate him coming and being with us. But you know, I'm so thankful because I have a discernment from God, and I can tell what men are thinking and what men are doing unless God hides it from me. And I could tell in talking with James that James had humbled himself not just to find a position here, but that he was wise enough in his spirit to humble himself to find out what's going on in little Bethlehem. That's right. Now, the average man wouldn't have known what was going on in his heart. But he's desiring not just to get a position, but to humble himself and not say anything, not do anything, and just blend in with everything to size up the whole situation and to find out if the whole thing's really of God or not. And if it is of God, then he wants to cast his lot with it and be part of it. Now, but I like that kind of attitude. I like for a man to come in with the right kind of attitude. That's right, I don't like to see a man come in with skepticism in his heart. I don't like to see him come in and take the attitude, well, this is a bunch of dunces here, and I'm just going to sit in here till I can find their fault and nail them all to the wall and make a public show out of things. That's right, I don't like men that come in with the attitude that Brother Pike is vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and I'm not going to bow down to anybody, and I'm going to do the way that I want to do it. Like a man that pulled up to the gate not too long ago, a few days back, he pulled up to the gate, and I meant no harm about it at all. I asked him, that is the brethren asked him, the ones that was on security, asked him if he would park his car on the inside for no lording over God's people, for no reason to be haughty or to be contrary, not to cause any problem or to do anybody any wrong, but rather for the sake of our neighbors, to show our neighbors that we're not a bunch of people that's trying to hog our way in and lord over them and hurt them. The Bible said love worketh no ill to its neighbor. So all they did was ask the man to park his car on the inside. He quickly informed them that he was a prophet and he wouldn't do it. So he sent word in, he wanted to see me. He was a prophet. God had led him not to park his car on the inside. And he sent word to see me. I said, go back and tell him before he sees me to park his car on the inside. God don't tell one prophet one thing and another prophet another thing. God's not the author of confusion. If God told me to park the cars inside, God told him that. And if he don't do it, he's contrary to God. Amen. So then he got upset and went on his way. He got mad and went on his way. That alone proved there wasn't no prophet about him. Amen. God is not the author of confusion. If I come over to your house and you got a rule in your house and that rule is a decent rule and it doesn't interfere with the things of God, God doesn't send me over there to tear down all the decency you got and to create a confusion and leave you in a state of confusion and tell you that I'm a prophet. God don't work like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel better and better about the situation. I said, God's not the author of confusion, and God don't do that. A lot of people don't know enough about God that if anybody comes up in that kind of condition, they get so confused and so scared till they don't know whether to tell the man to come or keep going. Because they don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about the Word of God. And they're afraid to say anything. But I'm not afraid to say what God tells me to say. I'm not afraid tonight to tell you that there's men here tonight that's in my midst that's got spirits of the devil tonight. That's contrary and resentful and haughty and needs to get straightened out with God. Or God's going to kill them and throw some of them's brains along the highway and put some of them in caskets. Doing away with those that are contrary to the work of God, not only here at Little Bethlehem, but wherever the message is heard around the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't like Brother Pike, do you, you devil? You don't like me because I know who you are and where you live. And you don't like me because I'll call you by name and you come and sit in my congregation and try to convince me and others that everything is all right. But you know what you need to do? You need to be born again. Hallelujah! You need to be born again. The Bible says that you're born again. You can't save the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. Hallelujah! God tonight knows who you are and where you're living and what you're doing and what your plans are. Some of you young fellas come here. Some girl that don't care nothing about her mother, daddy, her own decency, We'll get in here and draw a bunch of boys like an old dead dog drawing a bunch of buzzards. That's right. Flopping around and flapping around from every place that they can go and trying their very best to join the church. Amen. And some of the others run around with everything and after everything in the world and do any way that they want to do. And while they're doing it, they expect to come into the world, into the church, and pull the world into the church. But God isn't going to have it. Amen. The church is the church of God tonight. And the UPC and the Pentecostal Holiness, not all the other movements. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, all of them. Amen. The trouble with them tonight, it isn't that good people are not in them, but they're let down the standards of holiness. They've got them away from the Word of God and trying to get the doctors and the lawyers and everybody out in the world because of money and prestige. They've accepted everything into the church. Wanting prestige and wanting money. Bigger and bigger they can go. Amen. They can get bigger and have more overseers. They can have more prestige. Things will be better for them. And they can do a lot of different things, you know. They can have their boats and their Cadillacs and their new homes and their great mansions, their big churches. They can have the praise of men more than the praise of God. So they come together, and when they have a rally, hundreds and thousands of people come together. Why? Because they've compromised and lowered the standards. But I thank God tonight that the Holy Ghost is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I still serve the same God, the same Holy Ghost that I thought years ago. Burning in my soul the same message, the same requirements. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's never changed. The same requirements. Hallelujah. Ask for the old paths and walk therein and you'll find rest to your soul. Hallelujah. A pathway of holiness. God's got a trail of blood that's been spilt by the lovely Son of God. Hallelujah. There's footprints of blood along this trail. The martyrs have walked the trail and spilt the blood to stand up for holiness, to lay a foundation for you and for me. And then for me to come along and trample over blood. And to let anything come in the church by God's glory and God's grace and God's help, I refuse to do it. Men who compromise for money and prestige and worldly attire, fame and popularity and praise of men, just to have people in their midst, God will burn them in a burning fire. There's a place called hell where the worm dies not. And the Bible said the fire is not quenched. Day and night they're tormented in the presence of the saints. Some of these people come running along and they say, well, hell is just a grave. Do you think God, so good a God, would turn anybody into a flame of fire, somebody said. And through their little philosophies and their way of doing things, they talk everybody out of the Word of God, try to make the Word of the Lord of none effect by their fables, by their traditions, by what they think. Do you think God, being so kind, would turn anybody into a lake of fire, they say. And they say, hell, that's just a grave that when you finish your course, you go down to it. But I want to tell you something tonight. The Bible speaks of the place that I'm telling you of. It don't say that you just go down to it. It says where you're tormented day and night in the presence of God and the presence of the holy angels. There's a torment to this place I'm speaking of. Is God, it's not a grave. It's not just a place you go down to. It's a place where you're tormented day and night. There's no torment in the grave. You say, what makes you think that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said the dead know not anything. Not anything does the dead know. So then there's no torment in the grave. When you're in the grave, you lay there. But the thing that I'm talking about is not the body in the grave. I'm talking about a place that's called hell. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, my body will be in the grave. But my Bible tells me that death, hell, and the grave delivered up the dead that was in them. The dead was delivered up from the grave. And it said they alive were cast into a burning lake of fire. So then, there is something different from what you've understood. There's something different. The Bible said that this King Aman, he displeased God. For 2 years, God let him reign. No more than 2 years. For 2 years, he lived and reigned. 2 years, not long, folks. 2 years. For just 2 years. Think about that. God made him king. And for 2 years, he reigned and displeased God, and God killed him. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that was back in yesteryear. Things like that don't happen today. But Mr. Kennedy came on the scene. I said, John F. Kennedy came on the scene. Somebody would say, well, I thought he was a pretty good fella. According to the record, he defiled literally hundreds of women. According to a diary that they found of his own, he was rotten. And God killed him. Just in a few years, God killed him. Nobody didn't have to kill him. God killed him. Amen. Martin Luther came on the scene, stirred up a bunch of trouble, a bunch of confusion, and God killed him. Somebody said, I don't believe it, but God killed him. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, where do you get it that God killed John F. Kennedy? Where he killed Amon and where he killed Martin Luther and killed these great men? Where do you get that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said God creates the evil and God creates the good. God has his way in both, and God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And can evil come to a city and add not sin, saith the Lord? I rise up, I put down, I kill, I make alive, I wound, I bind up. Somebody would say, well, don't you know that somebody took a gun and shot John F. Kennedy? They shot him. They shot him, all right. But the Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. God prepared his heart to shoot him. Somebody said, where do you get that? Just like down here in Alabama, when Wallace raised up down there and kept on hammering away, kept on fighting the black man when he hadn't done nothing to him. God had him shot, put him in a wheelchair because he was causing confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Somebody would say, what makes you believe that? Because the other day somebody took a pot shot at Jim and they didn't get him. Why didn't they kill him? Shot him 3 times, understand? God didn't intend him to go down right then. Somebody say amen on me. Hallelujah, we're in the same boat. God has his way. You and I need to cause peace. The Bible said we're children of peace. The peacemakers that make peace. God wants us to make peace, folks. To love one another, not fight one another, not stir up trouble, not stir up strife. God isn't wanting war between every race and every color, every creed. God isn't wanting division between the German and between the Japanese. God wants peace. Have you understood what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So then what can I do? What can you do? Love one another. Oh, hallelujah. Love one another. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I got this thing figured out. You're not as smart as you think you are. If they kill these great men, then who killed Jesus? God killed Jesus. Come on, folks. The Bible said the extreme and speaking of God. God killed him. Somebody said, aha, that proves he's evil too. Don't prove a thing. Jesus said, I'm a lamb down. I've got power to take it up again. And in 3 days, he picked it back up. Proving the justification of righteous. Hallelujah. You can't win for losing when you're on the other end. Hallelujah. When you're with God, you can't lose for winning. God loves you. God loves me. God hates iniquity. He says to the wicked, I will pursue thee. Have you heard that last statement? God said, I will pursue thee. To the wicked. Oh, listen to me, my fella. You don't have it hid because you're molesting another woman. Because you're working undercover and you've had the thing so covered up. And you, sister, that thinks you've got everything so covered up that Brother Park and God doesn't know anything about it. But God knows exactly the dirty, evil, devilish things that you're doing. He's got the trap laid down the road and the spider's waiting on you. Amen. The new rights are on and you're bouncing up and down. It seems real nice. Like a child out on a trampoline, you know. But after a while, God's going to turn you a flip. And the spider is going to bind you hand and feet. And when he gets you bound, he's going to close in for the kill. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're doing. I feel good. Mitch says, I feel good. Hallelujah. I feel good. The Lord's got your number. He's watching you. You say, do you really believe he's got my number, Brother Pike? He's got your number. You want me to tell you what it is? It's 666. I said, he's got it. He knows what it is. Amen. In a convenient season, he'll call on you. I said, in a convenient season, he will call upon you. Like it was wrote in the Old Testament, said, in a more convenient place, son, I will visit thee. Back there, when the Egyptians was down there in Egypt, trouble, heartaches, problems with all the Israelites and the Egyptians kept pounding away, God had their number. He knew the day when he was going to deliver. Why, he told Abraham many, many, many hundreds of years before. Said, son Abraham, said, listen, your seed shall sojourn in bondage for 430 years, Abraham. But said, when this 430 years is finished, I, not Moses, not Elijah, not somebody else, but God said, I will visit the iniquity of the Egyptians, and I will bring your people out with a mighty hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Time come for God to deliver. He stepped inside of a body called Moses. And they said, he's a perfect child. Different from the rest of the world. He thinks different. He acts different. His life look is different. He's the defender of justice and of God. He stepped in a body, got behind the badge of skin, walked down in Egypt, walked up face to face with old Pharaoh, and he said, Pharaoh, your time is at hand. Hallelujah. Over 400 years I put up with you, Pharaoh, in your ways, but your time is at hand. Amen. And you know what? Pharaoh was so scared that he would have run the people out of Egypt. He would literally have driven them out of Egypt. But the Bible said God hardened his heart and he couldn't. That's the trouble with some of you. That's what's wrong with you. Somebody asks, I just can't understand why I keep on resenting, keep on finding fault. You know why? Because you are a whoremonger and God hates you. You're working your head under the table. And God's hardening your heart so they can destroy you.
And the Bible said he hardened Pharaoh's heart. And it grew harder. And it grew harder. And Pharaoh just couldn't keep from doing the evil things that he did. And God said, let my people get out of here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The federal men have run after us. The sheriff has run after us. The police has run after us. The whoremongers has run after us. The harlots has run after us. Amen. The spy and the dogs have run after us. The pack of wolves have run after us. The ravening lions has run after us. Amen. Parasites has run after us. But God still leads the way. God still leads the way. God said, I will visit them, Abraham, and I will bring them out. Right on the time. As the world said, right on the money, right on the very time. There was a little boy born by the name of Moses. Hallelujah. The devil knew that the time was drawing near for God to overthrow his kingdom. How do you know that the devil knows some things? He had done got wind of it. He knew something was coming off. You know what happens? Just about the time that God goes to give a deliverance, somebody has a vision. Somebody said, you know, I had a peculiar dream the other night. Hallelujah. Like old brother Gideon, when God said, Gideon, I want you to get in the harness. I want you to overthrow these evil Mennonites. Amen. I want you to overthrow these evil people that's taking up a reproach against Israel. And the Bible said when old Gideon got his heart right, God wanted to strengthen Gideon and he gave him the answer to some fleeces. Prepared his heart, then he asked for some fleeces and then gave him strength. And then gave them down in the enemy's camp a dream. And one of them said, you know, said, I had a dream last night. And the fellow said, well, what was it? Land. He said, my, he said, I saw a piece of barley bread break forth. He said, it just rolled down, it crushed us. Somebody screamed out, said, that's that demon. That's all that God wanted. That's all that God wants. Somebody said, that old brother so-and-so, that old brother so-and-so, God gets ready to do something, he'll do it. He will do it. He will do it. When he gets ready to do it, God will do it. You said, how is he going to do it? God said, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. You say, what does that mean? He said, the sword of God and the God that you can see. Somebody said, with skin on him. Amen. What was it? God leading his people into the perfect rest. Hallelujah. So God was displeased with Amon. 2 years he reigned and God killed him. 31 years Josias reigned because he pleased God. God raised him up and made him a great king because he did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. So then God brought Israel out. When the time come, he raised up Moses. He said, the cup of the Egyptians is full up, Moses. Time to move, son. Going to be a change. The song said there's going to be a change after a while. Folks, let me tell you something. The cup of the world is full up. And there's going to be a change. God is fixing to make a change. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you old bald-headed preacher, I just can't believe that. You know, you're not good enough to say that. But the Bible said, when I remind you of Moses in whom you trusted. Amen. According to Brother Branham, it was 4 months more. That makes you feel altogether different, don't you? Oh, yes, that troubles you, don't you? That troubles you. Sure, you can believe in George Washington a lot better than you can in Jimmy Carter. He's dead. Amen. We know what happened to him. We don't know what's going to happen to Jimmy Carter. Come on, folks. I know what Moses did, but Jesus, what about you? But it's going to be a change, folks. That change is already in process. Already in process. I don't know whether it being that God will write things clean in the middle of the year, the beginning of the year, whatever, according to Brother Branham's prophecies. I don't know. He just said by 77 in his 4 months, I believe, or something. It's not very far away, I know that. Can't keep up with the time very good, but it's not very far away. Not very far away. If you haven't done anything, it's time to do something, folks. If you haven't straightened up your ways, then straighten them up. If you haven't got your heart straightened out now, the chances are 99 out of 100 it won't be straight 4 months from now. Amen. I said, if all this time I've been preaching and you've been living all these years, if it isn't straightened out now, no doubt 4 months from now finds you in good shape for God to turn you into hell if it comes to pass the way Brother Branham spoke of it. You follow me? You don't follow me? Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. So then, it is a sad, mournful time of distress and sorrow. Whether it be in 4 months, whether it be in 4 years, for many years, I've made preparations and plans in my heart to be ready whenever it is. If I live every day, every month, and every year like it's coming right then I'm sure to get the right one. If I hit here and miss there and hit here and miss there, then after a while, I'm going to be caught off guard. And in an hour that I think not, the Son of Man will return. That's right. Might be a wreck on the highway. It might be sorrow. It might be heartaches. It might be a thunderstorm. It might be tornadoes. It might be diseases. Or it might be his coming from the heavens. But he's coming. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, if you know that among us are those that are in that kind of condition, then why do you continue to say good morning and hello and how are you, my friend? Jesus knew what Judas was doing, but he still called him friend. That's right. You know why? His time wasn't then. But there came a time when Satan entered into him and he went out into the darkness. And then God rewarded him according to his evils. He hang himself and his bowels gushed out. Gushed out. Hallelujah. God put him on his belly and his bowels gushed out. An old serpent curled up in there, broke loose. But you know, it's one thing for sure. That some of them that's been here under the message, Satan has already entered into them at their season. And they've went out into the darkness of the carnal mind. God said, turn my people from darkness to light. That mind is a mind of darkness, carnality, and of an evil pit. And God has already let them go back into their own understanding and out into the darkness. To find fault, to resist the truth, to do like Pharaoh, to harden their heart, that they will resist the truth and find fault, and the very thing that they testified of and said it's God, they'll turn around and go back and testify against it. Somebody said, I don't like for you to say that, but you can't help it, can you? I said, you can't stop me. The only way is not come here to hear it. Amen. You come here to hear the right thing, you'll hear the right thing. If you come here to find fault, God will turn you over to the devil too. Soon you'll be buddies. Amen. So then, it is a truth fact that some are yet among us that are yet to be turned over to the dark mind of carnality and of evil and to go away into the darkness. There are still those among us yet that are still to go away. I said it many, many months ago. Numbers of them have gone out. Numbers of them, and there's still some to go out. They will go out into the darkness and they will be damned. You say, well, Brother Pike, just because they leave here, that don't mean that they've gone. The Bible said if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. Is that right? But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were never of us. Somebody said, well, I know they was with you so-and-so. No, they wasn't. They never was. They didn't have me fooling or God fooled either. I spoke to different ones that they'd go out and when they'd go out and what would happen. The ones that I could confide in. I can't speak to some of you because if I speak to some of you, Your shirt wouldn't touch your back until you got over there to tell somebody to cause problems. But anyway, there's people that don't have the right attitudes, that are not anchored in the Lord Jesus, and they be birds of a feather. They'll flock together. They'll go out in the same condition. They'll go back to their own thinking, their own state of mind, their own way of life, and go back into the darkness. That's something that, you see that? You see that? Even God in the heavens willing to confirm what I'm saying. That's right. That's right. Sound like the Lord saying amen. Somebody said all that just happened, but the Bible said he has his way. So then it is a true fact that some will go out into the darkness because they will not give heed to what I have told them in the spirit of truth. They will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and like Pharaoh, witness against the truth. I'm going to say this in close. How do you know that Pharaoh acknowledged the truth and said, Moses, I know that you're God's man. I know that's God. I know this is the hand of God, he said. How do you know that? And turned right around and resisted it and said, who is God that I should listen to him? Found fault with him and condemned him. Is that right? Why? Because God hardened his heart. That's why the Bible said that Amon did not humble his heart. Josiah's humbled his heart. God gives more grace to the humble. If some of you would give your heart to God in humility, them resentful spirits, them fault-finding devils, that old carnal mind of yours, that old viciousness of spirit, that old haughty devil would leave you. That old gossiping tongue, that old fault-finding of always finding fault with your husband, fault with your wife, fault with your children, that old fault-finding devil would soon go out the window. That's right. If you'd humble your heart. Did you know, folks, that bitter water and good water can't come forth from the same fountain? How do you know that? When those evil spirits and thoughts come forth from you, don't you know that you're a bad well? Somebody said, well, I've got good water. That's just, no, there's no just about. You're a bad well. That's why they come forth from you. You need to get straightened out. That's right. Somebody said, where do you get that? The Bible said, charity thinketh no evil. Are you a well of charity? Bring every thought into subjection. You won't find fault. Your delight is in the laws of the Lord. In his laws you meditate day and night. You don't go around lusting after women, lusting after men, and every woman that comes by moves you, and every man that comes by moves you. You don't do that. You don't find fault with everybody and everything. You don't do that. You don't go along lusting after the things of the world and always wanting new cars and new houses and new this and everything else. You don't do that. You don't follow after money. Prestige. Why? When you do that, you haven't got God. You just haven't been born again. Somebody said, I know I felt God. That don't mean nothing. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. When you're born of God, you'll have the nature that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You'll have a hunger and thirst to go after God and the things of God, and you'll have a concern about the things of God. Tomorrow's Saturday. I ain't going to ask you to come out or ask how many. Tomorrow's Saturday, I'll just give you a chance to examine yourselves. See where your concern is, what your interest is. All right, let's stand together. You love the Lord. Don't resist the truth. Don't be proud. Don't be proud. Folks, don't be proud. Pride is a demon. The Bible said pride goeth before destruction. God resisteth the proud. When you're proud and confident of yourself and your appearance and your ability and what you are and what you're going to be, the Bible said God resists you. He resists you. But the man that's humble, that's submissive, that uses entreaty, that wants help, that feels like he ain't nothing, that asks for the hand of God, and waits for the Lord to lift him up and magnify him, God's blessing and favor is upon that person. He resisteth the proud. Anytime you get confident of your own ability, God resists you. We are they that have no confidence in our abilities. The Bible said we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. If you've got confidence, you're some great prophet, some great preacher, some great spiritualist. Paul said if anyone think himself to be a spiritual, or spiritualist, let him acknowledge that the things that I speak unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If you think you're spiritual and you got something and a revelation, whatever you got, you take notice tonight, the things I say unto you are the commandments of God. It's not what God requests, it's what God commands. You know, people have got this thing in reverse. They've got it to where, you know, with the paganistic churches and the movements and the different things out there, they say, please do this and please do that and don't do this. And they're so afraid that they'll run the doctor and the dentist off and lose their paycheck. Until it's everything they do, you know, it's like a silly woman. That's what the Bible calls them, silly women. But Peter didn't preach that way. They said, never man spake as this man. His words are with authority. Peter commanded them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. God commanded them to repent or perish. He said, go this way or go to hell. John said, you generation of vipers, repent of your sins or God will burn you in hell. God's preacher preaches the gospel and tells you what you must do. Somebody said this thing is optional. If I want to, I can. If I don't, brother preacher, I'll have you to know I can do what I want to do. You certainly can. You can go to hell. That's what you can do. If you call, I've said this a lot of times, if doing what you want to do in going to hell, if that's a sovereignty, then you got a sovereignty. You either repent or perish. You either serve God or go to hell. If you call that being able to do what you want to do, then you can do what you want to do. God said you serve him or go to hell. Either way. To me, there ain't much sovereignty to that. How many sees a sovereignty in that? There ain't no sovereignty in that. You either serve God or you wind up in the fire. There ain't no sovereignty to that. That's just like the law. The only sovereignty of the law is if you obey it, you get the blessings of it and the protection of it. If you don't, you go to prison. That's the same way God is. You can enjoy sin for a season and feel like you got a sovereignty and feel like everything's all right and you don't have to do it if you don't want to do it, that you can just go on and go your merry way, and you can. A little while and grace will be over and you'll find out there wasn't any sovereignty to it, that it was that way or else. Now, if you don't like this kind of preaching, you can go to the Baptist and the Methodist and the First Church and the Presbyterian and several others, and they'll preach to you different. It's like buying dresses. They got a color that everybody likes, you know, or they got something that fits you. If mine don't fit you, they got some that's just your size. Amen. That's right. As a matter of fact, along with the preacher, you can stroll in hell together in the garment he put on you. It'll fit you and him both. But the kind that I'm passing out, the Bible said when they walked through the flames, it didn't even have the smell of fire on it. The kind I'm talking about has been tried in the fire. It's come through without the smell of fire. Hallelujah. So then, I love you tonight. I appreciate you. You say, well, you're rude. Paul said in speech, but not in knowledge. You're rude, Brother Pike. Not rude, brethren. I love you. There's an old saying in the world, tell it as it is or like it is. I'm telling you as it is and like it is. I'm telling you what it's going to take, folks. If you got another way of life, the Bible said it seemeth right to you. But the ways there are for the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. It seems fine and you can prosper. Somebody would say, you don't believe I can prosper. Yes, sir. In the days of grace, you can prosper, have money, have health, have happiness, and go right on. But when the days of grace is over, your prosperity, your blessings, your health, your happiness, and everything is completely gone. That's right. It's completely gone. For it's just for the days of grace. But what I'm telling you is good for this day, good for this age, and good for the world to come. Amen. You can go on and go on. How do you like to live? You like to live? I like to live too. Why not just keep on living? The Bible said, why should you die? I've come that you might have life more abundant, filled up and overflowing. That's what he is the spirit of life. Said, my words are spirit and they are life. All you got to do is conform to the laws of God and enjoy the happiness and freedom and protection of it. But don't try to hide, folks. Don't try to excuse yourself. Don't make excuses. Thou art inexcusable. Don't do evil and turn and say, the Lord don't know nothing about it.
Don't do wickedly and think it's covered up. You'll have to pay for every wrong, pay for every sin, pay for every evil. I'm going to say this, and we're going to give you a chance to come to the altar. The Bible said if the angels, think about that now, if the angels who are greater than we are, if the angels who are greater in power and might, if they received a just recompense of reward for every transgression. Now think about that. For every transgression that the angels transgressed, they received a recompense reward, and the Bible said it was not an unjust one. God gave them their just dues. He said, then how shall ye escape if you neglect so great salvation? If Brother Branham is right and it's only 4 months, where are you living, folks? Where are you living at? You say, but Brother Pike, there's more than 4 months. I'm not going to dispute with you on it. I don't know. I know what he has told me concerning the end, but I don't know whether it's 4 months or 6 months. Brother Branham could have meant the middle of the year. He just said by 1977, 10 years ago or more, he made that statement. He's been dead and here we've lived. It's hard to believe, ain't it, folks? Now think about it. Think about it now. Say 10 years. Say, my lands, it don't seem to me like it was just a few days ago he made that statement. You mean we've been living 10 years? It's no wonder that Solomon said that life is like a vapor, a few days, full of trouble. And then like a vapor, it appeared for a while and then just vanishes away. No wonder he said that. Where are those 10 years? See, so quickly they're gone. So quickly, where did they go? My, if 10 years fled away so fast, how long will it take us to get rid of 4 months? See, it ain't been but a little while ago that I kept telling you, I said, folks, we better hurry. Ain't got but 12 or 15 months. I remember that. I said it'll get away fast. Here it is. It can't hardly believe it. Just seemed like 2 or 3 services ago that I told you that. 4 months. If them 8 or 10, 12 months went by so quick, how fast will these go by? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe it's going to happen like that. It's not for me to say. You know what it's for me and you to do is wait and find out. There's one thing for sure. If it happens, you'll know that he told the truth. Is that right? If it don't happen, then you ain't got anything to worry about. But if it does happen, nobody won't have to stand in his defense, will they? It's one thing about it, whether it does happen or don't happen, I'm planning to be ready. What about you? That's right, I'm planning to do everything I can to be ready. I'm not going to take any chance, Brother Cantrell. I'm planning to be ready. Now, I know the devil could trip me. God could allow him to do it, but I don't believe he'll do it. Bible teaches that he won't lose any of us. He won't suffer us to be moved. We keep ourselves, and the evil one touches us not. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I struck a familiar chord when I said that. Somebody's faith just skyrocketed. I felt a number of people, their faith just soared up like a kite, you know. And he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Why? Why? Because we're without spot, we're without wrinkle, we're without blemish. Somebody would say, well, 4 months or not, I'm going to take my chances. That's all right. But you know what? If you take your chance with this 4 months, and then if it doesn't come to pass at the end of this 4 months that this world is burnt up, or tragedy comes like the prophet spoke, then you really will wax bold, and the chances are then 99 out of 100 that you will not be ready. For if you wax bold against that at that close quarters, the chances are that tonight Without any hesitation, I could almost say that you are a child of hell. Twofold more the child of hell than you was to start with. Because if you'll chance it and wait, it's for sure that you'll wait later. It means that God is hardening your heart. He just found out that you love the things of the world, and he's hardened your heart that you might not have him, but go out into the darkness, that you might meet with the evils and damnations of life. I appreciate a chance to talk with you. I really do, from my heart. I appreciate the chance to expound the Word of God to you and tell you my heart and my feelings. I love you.